Welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Leaps and Bounds. I'm your host, Tom Bash, and I'm thrilled to be bringing you conversations with some of the most successful CEOs, sales leaders, and home improvement professionals. When I started in this industry 20 years ago, tearing off roofs, I had no idea about what went into making a home improvement business successful. Now, having met with thousands of contractors, helping them adopt technology, and watching them grow, I'm excited to invite them on to share what's made them successful, what they're doing today to stay ahead of their competition, and the advice they have for others. On today's episode, I'm joined by Brad Gardner of Hometown Restoration. Listen as we talk about how his start as an insurance agent fueled his desire to help homeowners navigate the insurance claims process and get paid properly. We'll discuss his preferred method of lump sum contracts and explore why it's such an effective method when dealing with your average residential roof replacement. He'll share his step-by-step approach and the key phrase that helps homeowners break the back and forth of delays and denials that homeowners often face when trying to settle a claim. Well, I'm excited to get this show started, so let's go. Hey, Brad, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Brad, before we dive into what we're going to talk about today, I'd love it if you could give our listeners just a sense of, how you ended up in this industry.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I was an insurance agent, and I've been an agent for about 3 years with a company out of Alabama, and had done really, really well with them. But I'd done well because I told all of my clients that if they ever had a claim, even though my premiums were a little bit more than other premiums, we would always show up with the checkbook. And what happened was we had a big hailstorm. And it wasn't long before everybody was mad at me because we weren't really doing a good job of paying out. And so I ended up switching sides. I left that insurance agency and got into the roofing business and started helping folks get paid properly. And that's kind of been the premise. I've been doing that the entire time. That was been what got me as a salesman. That was my goal, was just to help people get paid properly. And then when I started my own company, it was always going to be about the customer first thing. And we've carried forward, and it's like, how many more people can we help? And so now I try and help contractors and other people learn how to do it, so everybody can get paid properly. That's kind of the goal.
Yeah, I love that. And we're going to talk more today about lump sum contracts, but I'd like to maybe just back up a little bit and have you tell us more about your experience as an insurance agent and the role that you played. I know you didn't do much with claims, but maybe you can shed some light on what your role was.
Yeah. So, your agent really isn't, they don't teach you much about claims. They kind of keep the sales of insurance completely separate from the claims
part.
Right. So they hire the guy that's, the good guy at the church or whatever community he's in, and they bring him in, and he sells everybody insurance, and then they don't want that guy doing the paying out because he'll just give away the farm, right? So they hire a completely different personality,
right,
to do that. Yeah. So before getting into the storm that we had in 2013, I had really no experience with claims. I mean, I don't think I knew anything about how it paid out. It was kind of a trial by fire. Like I just knew how to sell it, and hey, give me your premium and we'll be there with the checkbook when you need something.
Right.
And that's not what happened, So I really wasn't much about claims or any claims experience that I knew. It was really more of, I dove into it, started figuring it out and learning the rules because my clients were getting, mad at me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened. I had one particular case where, I lost a big farm policy with a father and a son, because we ended up paying out like $12,500 after the deductible. And then the guy roofed it himself. And then the adjuster goes back and starts demanding like $10,000 back. It was all based on cost incurred. So I learned that the hard way by losing a big customer.
Right.
And like, that's when I was like, okay, maybe I need to figure out exactly what needs to happen to make sure that these people get taken care of. And that's that's when I started diving into the actual rules and what could be done and couldn't be done so I can help my customers. And that's how I found out about it. So.
Yeah. Yep. No, I really appreciate that story because I feel like you're really passionate about the issue and you look to help others really understand it. Before we dive into more around the insurance process, tell us a little bit about Hometown Restorations.
Yeah. So, after leaving my insurance company that I was working with, I worked with another roofer for a little while. And just like any good salesman in this industry, we had a falling out over money, and I ended up going home broke. So I moved home to my hometown of Natchez, Mississippi, with literally nothing. I started with my grandfather let me borrow the $57 to start the LLC. And I had a guy that ended up being a salesman for me, give me the $100 to open a bank account. And we started grinding. I was living on my grandmother's couch in my hometown. And I knew how important it was to be local. So we really played. That's about the only thing we had that we could play up, that we were local. So, you know, my brother and I and one salesman, and we took off and we went out there and we were Hometown Restoration. And that's kind of how it started. And it has since grown. You know, we're six states deep and do 10 million plus a year. And it's been a wild ride, and I'm surrounded by some amazing people, and extremely fortunate, because I watch that same story happen a lot, and I watch folks lose their shirt, you know, over trying to make it. It's really a lottery, and I feel like I've won the lottery a lot of days, because, you know, if it weren't for the folks that really took hometown into their heart and made it something real, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. No, absolutely. I'd love to dive into this lump sum contracts, but first, maybe you can give our listeners a little bit of a background of how the insurance restoration market operates today. I know some of our listeners are familiar or have heard about Xactimate and that, but, you know, give us a little bit of a better understanding of what that looks like and, you know, how the industry operates today, or at least has operated.
Yeah. So, well, you can kind of back up even further behind the day to really understand how we got where we are. So, you know, it used to be, you know, what insurance does in any case, and a good one liner for it is insurance is there to replace you in the case of a loss. So, also on top of that, anytime you profit from insurance, it's a fraud. So the only thing insurance is supposed to do is replace you in the event of a loss. So if you total your car, it's supposed to replace you for your car. If someone dies, life insurance is going to replace that person based on the preset value that you decide. So replacement of loss is what insurance is about. So the way that was determined with property insurance was if you had like repairs that were deemed a loss from a sudden loss at that, you would turn in your invoices and, you know, the adjuster would take a look at it, make sure that it was, you know, in line, and they would pay out. And kind of what happened, this is, you know, pre-computers, right? So what happened was the adjusters and the contractors would get a little greedy. So they would beef up estimates and say if it was a $10,000 job, and the folks had a $1,000 deductible, they'd say, hey, we're going to beef this up to $12,000 and we'll take care of your deductible. And maybe the adjusters might have friends that they would take care of, or contractors that they would pass all of the work to, and they would approve this contractor's work to do. There was a lot of, you know, handshaking going on. And so insurance companies needed a way to standardize what was being paid out. So right about that time, here comes Xactimate in the early 2000s, which was a estimating program. And it's supposed to update monthly on prices for labor and materials in the area. And that, you know, you put in your zip code and you'll go in there and you'll list out each individual thing. And it bids on what's called a cost plus basis. So it takes the actual line items for each thing, each pipe boot, each nail, and it says, this is the cost and here's the profit percentage that we can add on top of it. And they send that out and they take the homeowner's deductible away from that number. And, you know, that's what's paid out on a replacement cost policy.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I guess one of the things that I see a lot and you know, maybe the word fighting is harsh, but there's a lot of disagreement about, you know, what an insurance carrier wants to pay and what a contractor feels a job costs.
So that's what's happened. And fighting isn't harsh. It's an all out war at this point. It wasn't when I started and early on, but the delay and deny tactics that insurance companies use has, in my opinion, crossed the boundaries of fraud and blown the doors wide open on that. Like they would rather go to court and fight on the back end than they would, you know, pay properly. It's more profitable for them to go through the court system, you know, drag people in their homes through years of settlement. I have a friend of mine, Doug Quinn, who's the executive director of the APA. This is why he started the American Policyholder Association. He went 7 years before he was able to get back in his home from Hurricane Sandy. You know, it has gotten real egregious, and I mean, just it's bad. Every claim is an all-out battle, and they use this program Xactimate to manipulate pricing. They'll say things like, we don't pay for pipe boots, or we won't pay for decking if it needs to be redecked, or we won't pay for these windows you know, that lost their seal, whatever it is. They'll everything is an argument in the battle, and you're not dealing with your local adjuster who you have to see in the store, or who has to see you for that matter. You're dealing with some desk adjuster across the country. You're dealing with some guy that they ship in from a TPA firm. Like, you almost never deal with a local guy. And it's, you know, it's by design. They hire people that have like an engineer mindset, that are completely interested in things, not people. And they'll ship him in across the country to where he'll never have to see you again. And they give him a bonus if he underpays claims on his loss ratio. And it's, they completely set the system up to take advantage of homeowners. So we you know, try to battle that within the lines as much as we can.
Yeah, and so one of the ways that you do battle this is with lump sum contracts. So talk to us a little bit about the difference between lump sum and cost plus.
So cost plus is exactly what Xactimate is. It's where they take the cost of a project, or what they presume a cost will be, and you add a percentage to it, and that's your final number. So a lot, and cost plus bidding and lump sum bidding are the two ways that you can do a bid on any construction project. So, I mean, if you were going to do a large skyscraper, right, in New York, there are so many variables that you can't really guess what it's going to cost. Like, so you'll do an estimate. It says, we estimated a cost $100 million, right? And that's based on a cost plus. We're going to lock in a 30% profit for us. So if it ends up being 120, you're carrying that risk. So if we have, like, you know, the price of steel goes up over the next 3 years while we're, you know, building the skyscraper, whatever the material deal may be, we can supplement on the back end and send you our final bill, because we're going to lock in our 30%. And that's what cost plus says. Lump sum says, hey, look, we estimate that it's going to be $110 million to build that skyscraper, and we take all of the risk on the price changing. So we say we can build it for 110. There will be no changes. We're locked in right there. So if you're the city that's trying to approve your new skyscraper, and you're like, okay, I've got $100 million here, with an open checkbook at the end, or I can lock it in at $110 million, you might want to go with a lump sum estimate on something like a skyscraper. Now, when we bring that back down to, you know, home remodeling and home restoration construction, you start looking at it as, you know, well, this isn't really a complicated project. This is like shingles, felt, and nails. There's not really much risk that me as a contractor is going to get that wrong, right? So I can pretty much look at a roof and tell you down to the box of nails what it's going to cost. So this is what I'll do the job for. And this is, I know that I'll have my profit margin in there. And if for some reason I measured it 2 squares short, or something, that's on me, right? And that's what lump sum is. That doesn't really work for an insurance company. They would, because they'd rather manipulate the line items. They'd rather argue you down for things that you know you're still going to go put that ice and water shield, even if State Farm denies it, right? So they win by winning on the small fights. They win by saying, oh, if we can shave $1,000 off of each one of our claims, we could save $100 million a year. And that's why they do it that way. But no contractor has to subscribe to one way or the other, just whatever you want to do. So your estimate is, and your bid is what you'll do the job for. You just have to be upfront with how you're doing it. So if this is a cost plus bid, this is what it costs and I'm not moving. And the homeowner doesn't have to pick what contractor or what the insurance company wants them to go with. So the homeowner gets to say, this is my contractor. This is how much it costs. Pay me for my invoice. Now, all of that's how it's supposed to work. And what happens is, let's say that, and you can see how that could be taken advantage of. I'm sure some of the listeners right now are like, well, I'll just write it for $50,000 and it's $15,000, like, right? So there's an appraisal process, and it was insurance companies that actually wrote this into policies in their arbitration agreement because of this reason. They said, well, we don't want to overpay. We have to pay in the event of a loss, but we don't want to overpay. So if we can't come to an agreement on price, we will go to a third party appraisal. And this is where the homeowner and the insurance company hire a third party and they have an arbitration. So at this point in the game, because the overwhelming, I keep calling it fraud, because I guess it just is, that happens on the insurance company, it is like 99.9% of the time in the favor of the homeowner to demand an appraisal. There will always be more money that comes out at appraisal. I've never once gotten to an appraisal process and the homeowner not be awarded more money, right? So it's like, here's the estimate. If you don't like it, take me to appraisal. And that's what the homeowner needs to say every time. And yeah. That's how we set it up.
So, so to sort of summarize here, a big difference with cost plus is that the client assumes the risk, whereas the contractor is going to assume the risk with lump sum. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So how do you get it to the point that a homeowner understands and I guess is empowered to, you know, to tell the insurance company that they either need to pay their contractor or evoke their right to appraisal?
Well, you have to walk on a fine line. Insurance companies have, you know, lobbied for laws like, you know, unlicensed practice of public adjusting and stuff. So in a roundabout way, I guess the best way to say it is for the homeowner needs to refer to their arbitration agreement and their policy and read how that goes. Now, they've never read a page of that policy, you know. No homeowner does, no one does, right? It would take an insurance agent or some adjuster that, you know, had to learn it to understand what any of that stuff is, or a lawyer for that matter. So going and telling the homeowner, hey, you have rights outlined in your policy and this is the page they're on, is a good start, right? So we want to tell them, you know, check out how the arbitration agreement works. Everybody pretty much understands in 2021, at least most of my clients, that, hey, the insurance company is gonna try and, you know, pay as little as possible. It affects their bottom line. And, you know, we're going to bill high just because we're going to have to come down and meet them in the middle kind of thing. So, you know, everybody kind of understands that's how it works. We tell them we are always ready to settle if it's reasonable. So if the homeowner takes a look at our estimate and says, you know what, I agree. And we ask them before we ever submit an estimate to an insurance company, we'll sit down and we'll say, here's what the insurance company paid you. Here's what we think should have been paid. Do you agree with everything here? And if it's like any questions, we answer them, there it is. So when the homeowner understands your estimate and we submit it to the insurance company together, we explain to the homeowner, look, the next step is they're going to call back and argue. It wouldn't matter how perfect our estimate is, they're going to call and argue. So rather than drag this through a long drawn out process, they will, as long as you let them, they'll keep dragging it out. They'll give you $500, $300, you know, and they'll just keep nickel and diming you until you stop calling. What we want to do is just kind of set a firm stance up front. So we have everyone remember to say, either pay my contractor's invoice or take me to appraisal. And it's that one, we boil the one job that the homeowner has down to that one line, either pay my contractor's invoice or take me to appraisal. Because if I'm wrong, Mr. Customer, it's going to come out at appraisal. If they're wrong, it's going to come out at appraisal. So what happens most of the time, Mr. Customer, is they're going to call me and they're going to say, Brad, what do we got to do to settle? We don't want to go to appraisal. It's going to cost us money to send a guy out there. It's going to cost us. We know we're going to lose the appraisal anyway. What do we got to do to settle this thing? And that's where I get to come to the table. But otherwise, they'll just keep dragging it out.
Right. Right. Now, if I'm a contractor, you know, I've got to know my costs, right? I can't just go out there and say, this roof is, you know, whatever, and come up with a price. Also, it's important to know when to settle, right? So what advice do you have for contractors about understanding what their price is?
Well, it's amazing that any business owner, contractor, anything alike, would go, be in business and not know what their cost is. But what has happened is we have great grandbabies of companies that only know Xactimate, right? So you have companies that have had bad practices, and the company they came from had bad practices, and so on. So we have to kind of get back to that. Like, if you're going to be a lump sum contractor, you have to know if you're profitable or not. And Xactimate, you can't rely on Xactimate to be that profitable tool for you. It's just not feasible. I mean, when your overhead as a contractor may be different than mine, and we're running off of the same program, one of us may be losing money, one of us may be making money. We don't know, because we're relying on some other third party to say if we should or shouldn't be profitable. That's just not scalable. That's not any way to run a business in any format. I don't care if it's contracting or you know, owning a pizza shop. So I kind of talk about that in my talk about lump sum, you know, contracting. It's like, you know, Domino's or any other pizza shop for that matter, when they sell you a pepperoni pizza, I mean, the receipt says one large pepperoni pizza $19.95, but it doesn't tell you, okay, we've got 3 ounces of cheese, 4 ounces of sauce, and 35 pepperonis on it. But right, I can guarantee you that Domino's knows exactly what a pepperoni costs, you know, down to the fraction of the penny, how much each one of them is, and what they've got invested in that pizza before they put it out there in 1995. So you have to do the same thing in your business. Like, what exactly does it cost to drive one nail into a roof, and have that listed out, and always be able to adjust that in some format? It's like, price are adjusting, labor adjust, cost of materials adjust, overhead adjust, and you need to be able to adjust that on your back end so you know what to present and how to be profitable.
Right, right. So, Brad, what's the process here for a contractor? Are they just taking this and handing an estimate over to the homeowner? Are they waiting on something from the insurance company? What happens first year? What, you know, what's the process look like?
Yeah, we always want to get the first scope of work from the insurance company for a couple of reasons. The main reason that you want to wait and not give it up is we want the insurance company to admit that there's damage and admit that they're responsible for it first. Because if there's no damage and if they're not responsible for damage, then they don't have a right to know what the homeowner is paying, you know, for their new roof, right? So we want them to admit that they're responsible. And I see this sometimes in, you'll have a insurance company come out and deny the roof, and then we'll tell them it needs to be replaced. And they're like, well, we need to see pictures and an estimate before we'll agree to replace it. It's like, no, you can bring yourself back out here and do a readjustment. You can send me pictures and an estimate, right? It's like, you know, you haven't admitted to being responsible for it yet. So you'll get that when you say you're responsible. So that's the first thing. We want to kind of hold that close to our chest. Another thing is what if, you know, we've gone out there and done our inspection, or we sent a project manager out there to do our inspection, and he missed an awning or an outbuilding or, you know, a gutter system or something like that that needed to be paid for, that otherwise we were just looking at the roof. So we send off our little estimate and up front, and, you know, we could be leaving money on the table, or at least trades on the table, right? So we want, and that doesn't happen near as often as the first example, right? You know, typically when we write something up, we're swinging for everything out there that's feasible. But sometimes it happens. Sometimes we miss some stuff, and you know, we could be shooting ourselves in the foot and leaving some trades on the table that we would have otherwise gotten. So we always want to get their scope of work first, and then we'll turn around and we'll create ours and send it and go over everything with the insurance company, with the customer, and then send it to the insurance company.
Right. Yeah. And Brad, if I remember correctly, I think you referenced this piece about holding your cards, sort of a poker analogy. And if I remember correctly, you were a poker player or are a poker player.
Yeah, I was. I played a little bit. I still kind of play a little bit, but not as serious as I used to. That's the deal. It, you know, you never, when you're playing poker, you don't show your hand until the customer calls, until the other player calls, right? You're not going to show your hand to the insurance company until they say, okay, yeah, it's damaged. And then once they do, it's like, okay, well, here's our hand, right? And that's how we start. And it, truth be told, man, that's just courteous in any form. The reason why it's done in the poker world, I mean, I think it is a rule, but, you know, just at a little home game, you know, if someone puts their time, energy, and money out there, on the table, and, you know, you get to see their cards once you've called and met with that. So once the insurance company has given us time and energy and willing to put money towards the loss, then we'll come to the table and lay our cards out and say, okay, here's where we are. You know, that it's just customary.
Yeah. Yep. And there's a lot of information that you can gather out of that. You know, it's been years since I've played poker, but I used to play quite a bit. And I can certainly see the analogy between, you know, what transpires during a poker game and, you know, what we're talking about here today.
You know, poker in a lot of ways is a lot like life, you know, and my this little humble, understanding of it. But, you know, you're given cards to work with, and then there's a playing field that everyone's working with. And it's like, how can you extract value from this? And, you know, sometimes that you may not be able to extract value about it. Sometimes you may even lose. Right. But that's just kind of how it works. So the order at which it takes place, you can teach a lot. I mean, that's not just with poker, that's with a lot of sports and a lot of different things that you do. And so those things, they carry the traditions that are in that carry over and spill over into a lot of things in your life. And I don't think that this is any different.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so now after you've done this and you've talked to the homeowner and you've gone over, you know, what it's going to take to make the homeowner whole, if you will, the next process is then to send that invoice to the insurance company. You know, what role does the homeowner now play in all of this?
You know, they're just waiting to hear back from the adjuster. The homeowner, you know, we try to keep as much control over the deal as possible. So the you know, from start to finish, we've been on the one speaking with the adjuster and you know, making sure that the damages are covered. And then, you know, we always want to be the one that submits it to the insurance company. So, you know, the homeowner is sitting there kind of waiting. And that's the great thing about it is they're waiting on their one job. I got one job. And that's when that insurance company comes back and says, nope, I ain't letting them get away with that. I'm going to tell them they could either pay my contractor or we're taking it to appraisal. Mm-hmm. That's their one job, right? And it's awesome because the homeowner is your teammate, right? He's, yeah, look, man, this is how you're going to hit them. I'm gonna distract them up front. And I want you to come in from the side when they're not expecting it, right? Yeah. So he's the teammate. And then when we do that, guess what? When the homeowner tells the insurance company, either pay my contractor or take me to appraisal, everything after that point, we're now waiting on the insurance company. They hadn't paid me. They hadn't agreed to appraisal yet. There's no reason for a customer to be mad at me because we hadn't started. Like, I can't wait to start the job, Mr. Customer. But you know, these people won't do what they're supposed to do. You know, call them again, let them know, yep. Take me to appraisal. Yep. and it gives the homeowner a job, right? And otherwise, they just say, well, my stupid contractor won't settle and fix my house.
Right. So I love it. So now, what percentage of claims actually go to appraisal?
You know, that would probably be something that would better be on the macro. I can tell from my little experience, not many. You know, sure. We maybe 1 in 10, somewhere there, we'll end up like, and half of those is just some desk adjuster that doesn't know that he's about to lose, you know, because no one ever does it, right? He's heard about appraisals, but no one ever's like put him in one. And then like, he finds out, oh wait, you know, we lost that, you know, if more people did it, or more people put it out there, I think there would be less of them. But, most of the time what happens is the insurance company decides they don't want to deal with their hot-headed customer. They'd rather deal with you. And then, so now we get to get on the phone and we get to settle with the insurance company. That's where coming back to knowing the cost of your pizza is so important, because you have to know what margin you're willing to settle at. And it's like, you know, yeah, we swung at a 45% margin, but we'll take 40, you know, and exactly. And being able to say that, you know, otherwise you're sitting there. It's like, okay, we swung at 20,000, but the insurance company wants you to take 17. You don't know if you're profitable or not, you know, and unless you know your numbers. So most of them do that. Most of it's like, hey, how do we settle with you? And we get a phone call, you know, and a lot of times you'll get some stupid, you know, response. Hey, we need a broken down line item estimate. It's like, it is broken down. It says quantities and what we're doing. It's just, no, but I need a price for each one. No, you don't. We're billing lump sum, you know, I've got in my group, the lump sum contractor, you know, people are posting scope of works that are like one line item as per contractor bid, you know, 54,000. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, because that at the end of the day, that's what's supposed to happen. It's like, okay, here's how much it costs. This is what the contractor said, right? That's what determines the cost of a project. So it's getting, you know, when I first started fighting this battle, insurance companies thought I was nuts, you know, but now that a lot more people are doing it, you know, you're just running into some folks like, oh, you're one of those lump sum guys. Okay, we give up.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've talked to a lot of contractors and I've asked them, you know, hey, do you do lump sum contracts? Is that something that you do? And they say, well, I've heard about it, or I've tried it, or those kind of things. So obviously, you know, you're really knowledgeable about this and passionate about it. If others want to learn about it, or, you know, specifically folks that are listening today, how do they get in touch with you or get help or assistance?
Yeah, well, there's a few ways. You can always go to my Facebook group, The Lump Sum Contractor. You know, there's a lot of information getting passed around on that. You know, folks are really diving in. I have a video kind of describing it. We plan to release more videos that go in depth on what our contract looks like and all that kind of stuff. So we put a lot of free information out on there just for everybody to have. Then also I have a consulting business where I go in and I've done things like, you know, spend a day training salesmen, you know, how to do everything. I'll come in and I don't just do, you know, this is just how we do our estimating. There's a lot more factors to run a successful company than just that. So, you know, we have, you know, packages where I can come in and spend several days with you and Zoom calls afterwards and all that kind of stuff. So you can go to bradgardnerconsulting.com for that. Or you can just call me, you know, my cell phone number is 601-431-6345. And I'll be happy to talk to whoever, you know, I don't give all this out. And just so I can generate a bunch of consulting business or anything like that. I genuinely only care about contractors getting better because I mean, I've seen it in my business, like we were just saying a second ago. I've seen where, you know, insurance companies have started to fold to this and just get it off my plate, you know, and that's only a result of everyone starting to kind of get on the bandwagon and saying, oh, wait, we have the power to do this. We just have to get the homeowner on our side. So, you know, doing that's been really successful for us. And I've seen a lot of other people be successful with it. So that's kind of how we do it.
Awesome. And so, Brad, I have to imagine, you know, you bring up a good point. As more and more folks leverage this method, I think the responsibility is going to be collectively in the hands of the industry to not abuse it and not get to a place to where we're at today where contractors are having to battle over individual line items. And so, yeah, I think the responsibility for that really lies in the contractor's hands.
I've asked almost at every speech that I've given on it, like, please don't get greedy with this. You know where that line is in your head. And I'm not going to be sitting here trying to govern that. It's not my role. I'm not here with that, but I do ask that everybody try to, you know, do this with integrity, right? Go out there and stand up for what you feel you should be paid and don't abuse it, because what will happen is insurance companies will see the abuse there and see the greed and they'll say, hey, we're going to write out appraisals. We're no longer going to accept appraisals. I've heard of stuff like that starting to happen in Florida, right? They'll find another way around it, right? And we really don't want to use this as a thing where insurance companies feel like they're being taken advantage of, because they will combat it. And it's greed that got us here. It was the greed from the contractors that, you know, started inflating the estimates to cover deductibles and such. It was the greed from insurance companies that have just gone into full-on outright fraud that's gotten us to where we are with Xacto8. And, you know, the ball is kind of on our side of the court now, and how we combat that and how we move forward with integrity is going to determine how successful we'll be in the future. So I hope that folks, you know, kind of learn that lesson, and I try to tagline it all with that, because it could really end up, you know, destroying a good thing. And we have a good checkmate here. Don't give it up.
Yeah, that's great advice. Brad, as we wrap up, I just want to ask you one last question. You know, what advice would you give to other contractors that are, you know, are looking to get their business off the ground? Maybe they've hit a rut. They're trying to take their business to the next level. You know, what advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I've been at that place a few times, you know, and first of all, I'll say surround yourself with people better than you and give them the credit. I don't know where I heard that from. It's definitely not my quote, but that was something I took to heart, and I did that. If you're an owner and you're meant to be an owner, your role is probably, I want to say probably not the most important role. Your role is the decision maker. Your role is to point us in the right direction, but you are not what makes the ship move. It's the people down there rowing every day that makes this thing move. So find the right people and surround yourself with them and make them feel proud to be a part of what they're doing. Because I promise you, I lost everybody once, and it was a real humbling experience to find out that I wasn't the important one, you know, like I thought I was. So That would be the biggest advice I can give anybody. That pretty much will solve whatever problem you have going on. Yeah. It's finding the right person to help you.
Yeah. No, I love that. Absolutely. Brad, this has been really good. Really appreciate all the information you've shared with us. I think people are going to get a lot out of this, and I think there's going to be a lot more interest in it. I know you're already seeing it, but you know, there's more and more folks that I talk to that aren't familiar with it and think, wow, yeah, this is amazing. And I think that momentum is just going to continue to carry on. So I really appreciate you joining us and sharing this message.
Appreciate you having me, man. Y'all have a good one and call me if you need me.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Well, that'll do it for today's show. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode of Leaps and Bounds. If you did, be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and review and subscribe to the podcast. We look forward to bringing you more exclusive conversations with some of the most successful home improvement leaders. If you're interested in learning more about Leap, be sure to check us out at leapeddigital.com or follow us on our social channels. Until next time, see ya!